Why did the Romans win? Several reasons I think we can identify. Tenacity and determination. Now, these are hard to quantify, they're hard to measure, but they are certainly an important factor. You may have just noticed, as I've been going along here, three wars against the Samnites, a series of wars against the Latins, a long war against Pyrrhus, three long wars against the Carthaginians. The Romans were nothing if not tenacious. In the second place, I think flexibility in military tactics. The Romans were not so sort of hard-headed. They may have been conservative, they may have been traditional, but they weren't so hard-headed that they couldn't adapt. They couldn't try new things. They couldn't work with things that, with new practices, new military strategies, new tactics that would work in particular circumstances. Whether it's guerrilla warfare against Hannibal's troops in Italy or the elaboration of the legion in the Samnite Wars. It was very, very, very important, particularly during the Second Punic War when Hannibal had his army in Italy, that Rome's Italian allies did not fall away. Roman diplomacy had proved its value. Roman diplomacy had worked. Rome's generous treatment of those in Italy whom they had come to dominate led those people to see their long-term interests as better under Roman rule, under Roman influence, than perhaps under the influence of anyone else. Now, during the Second Punic War, the Antigonids. Now, do you remember when we talked about the Hellenistic world? And we said after the death of Alexander the Great, three of his great generals, Antigonus took the Balkans, Seleucus took Palestine and Syria and Mesopotamia, and Ptolemy took Egypt. So three of Alexander's great generals sort of carved up his empire. All right? We're going to bump into those three families, not Alexander's immediate successors, but those who came after them here in just the next few minutes. But beginning with the Antigonids in the Balkans. The Antigonids may have lent some aid to Pyrrhus. That's not clear. It is clear, however, that they lent some aid to Hannibal. Once again, the Romans regarded that as a direct affront. This was an attack upon them as far as the Romans were concerned. And consequently, once they had finished with the Second Punic War, after 201 BC, when Scipio Africanus had defeated the Carthaginians, the end of the Second Punic War, the Romans initiated a series of three wars in the Balkans. These wars, 199 to 197 BC, remember, they defeated the Carthaginians in 201. 199, they're in the Balkans right away. They don't let the issue rest. 171 to 67, a second war, 150 to 146, a third war. You may remember that 149 to 46, the Romans are defeating the Carthaginians for the third and final time. 150 to 46, they're fighting in the Balkans. You notice the Romans are now able to fight in two places at once. Now, the point is, of course, that they originally went into the Balkans to, from their point of view, even the score against the Macedonians for having had the temerity, you see, to help the Carthaginians. The Antigonids were defeated fairly promptly, but the Antigonids had received a good deal of assistance from a number of cities and leagues in Greece. The Romans, therefore, regarded that as an affront, that Greek cities had helped their enemy, King Philip V of Macedon. Consequently, a series of wars were fought, the second and third of these Macedonian wars, to defeat these various Greek cities and their allies. So by 146, Rome had come to dominate the Balkan Peninsula. During the course of the war with Philip V of Macedon, the Antigonid ruler of the Balkans, the Seleucids from the eastern Mediterranean had lent some assistance. The Romans then regarded that as an affront. Now, the Romans began as early as 188, 187 BC to reckon accounts with Antiochus III, the Seleucid ruler at that time. They swept his forces basically off the eastern Mediterranean. They put an end to his naval power. They seized a certain number of naval bases from him. They did not yet at that moment actually penetrate inland and conquer the Seleucid realms, but they basically defanged and neutralized the Seleucid rulers. Much the same is true of the Ptolemies in Egypt, who had lent some assistance to the Seleucids, you see, when the Romans attacked them. So once again, the Romans regarded that as an affront. Now, the Romans, again, largely neutralized the Ptolemies, but did not yet actually take over the land of Egypt. Though it's pretty clear that Rome was meddling in the internal affairs of both the Seleucid realm and of Ptolemaic Egypt, all right?